Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Tuesday, September 25th, 2018. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Federal judge says grizzly bears must remain protected for now in the Yellowstone ecosystem. Moscow Human Rights Commission is asking City Council to endorse Proposition 2, the Medicaid expansion initiative, but state law may prohibit the city from making such an endorsement. And the Moscow Food Co-op Board suspends plans to build a new store in Pullman in light of Pullman-grown effort to start a new co-op there. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Federal Judge Dana Christensen in Montana restored federal protections for grizzly bears in the Northern Rockies Yellowstone ecosystem yesterday. The decision blocks what would have been the first grizzly bear hunts in the lower 48 states since 1991. The most recent order blocking the hunts was set to expire this week. According to the Associated Press, both Wyoming and Idaho were ready to authorize hunts, which would allow the killing of up to 22 grizzly bears in Wyoming and one grizzly bear in Idaho. In his ruling, Judge Christensen wrote the case was not about ethics, but whether federal officials adequately considered whether the threat to the bear's long-term recovery was taken seriously enough when federal protections were lifted earlier this year for over 700 grizzly bears living in and around Yellowstone National Park in the greater Yellowstone ecosystem. Christensen said more than 50,000 bears once lived in the lower 48 states. He said it would be, quote, simplistic at best and disingenuous at worst, unquote, to not consider the status of the grizzly bears outside the Yellowstone region where population numbers have increased. Wyoming Governor Matt Mead said he is disappointed with the ruling. Mead said the Endangered Species Act should be changed and called grizzly bear recovery a conservation success story already. Earth Justice Attorney Tim Preso, who represented some of the plaintiffs in the lawsuit, said Christensen's ruling made it clear the government moved too fast in removing federal protections because grizzlies are absent from much of their historical range. Preso said putting the blinders onto everything other than Yellowstone grizzlies was illegal. We tried to get them to put on the brakes, but they refused to do that. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Agency spokesperson Jennifer Strickland said the department stands behind their decision to lift the protections. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has been working towards lifting federal protections for approximately 1,000 grizzly bears in the Glacier National Park region and the Bob Marshall Wilderness Area in Montana, but was waiting until Christensen ruled on the Yellowstone ecosystem's grizzly bear protections. The Moscow Food Co-op Board of Directors announced last week they have placed expansion plans for a second store in Pullman on hold in light of plans by the newly formed Pullman Good Food Co-op Board, who plan to open a co-op in Pullman. The Moscow Stores Board said in a statement they have the best wishes for the Pullman venture. The statement said, we have decided to put our plans for a full store Pullman expansion on hold for the time being. This decision comes in light of our research and the budding development of the Pullman Good Food Co-op. According to the Daily News, Pullman Good Food Co-op board member Sue Guyette said there will be a carnival-style event Friday at the Pine Street Plaza to help raise money and make the public aware about plans to open a new co-op in Pullman. Guyette said the Pullman board is pleased the Moscow board is offering their help as a resource for their endeavor in Pullman. She said, we're really excited about that. The board is going to meet and hopefully both boards can get together. Guyette said the carnival-style event, called by the organizers the Co-op Static Carnival, will kickstart a membership drive with games, live music, and a salad competition with a free membership on the line, as well as the winning entry earning a place on the new store's menu. Guyette said salads in the competition will be judged by event attendees and will be graded on taste and visual appeal. Guyette said the group has just begun a membership drive and the organization has already accepted a dozen applications. She said the board has not set fundraising goals so far, but they have high hopes for a successful event. Guyette said, "I'd be excited to collect $10,000 in donations and 100 members. I mean, I'd be pleased. The whole focus is we want to get out in the community and we want to make ourselves present and public." She said the next major step is a feasibility study next month with consulting fees paid for from a $10,000 Pullman Chamber of Commerce Community Investment Fund. Results of the study are expected by the end of October. The Moscow Human Rights Commission is asking the Moscow City Council for a statement of support for Idaho's Medicaid expansion ballot measure, Proposition 2, which will be on the statewide ballot in November. Moscow Assistant City Supervisor Jen Pfiffner spoke to the Moscow City Council's Administrative Committee yesterday, saying a new state law implemented in July bans city councils across the state from advocating for or against ballot measures. Pfiffner said City Attorney Maya Vowles is researching ways the City Council might be able to take a stand on the Medicaid expansion initiative. Family physician and former District 5 State Senator Dan Schmidt attended the Administrative Committee meeting Monday. Schmidt encouraged council members to contact the Idaho Association of Cities to look for legal ways around the state ban on ballot measure endorsements. Schmidt suggested the city could get a message of support for the ballot measure through the Idaho Association of Cities, since it is a non-government entity. Moscow Mayor Bill Lambert said at the meeting he fully supports Medicaid expansion and intends to write a letter to the state in support of Proposition 2. The Moscow City Council's Public Works Finance Committee Monday recommended moving forward with a lot division at 410 East Veach Street, despite concerns from several residents at the committee meeting. The division would cut a lot adjacent to the Troy Highway near Petzer People 2 into four lots, and 19 parking places would be created across the highway. Neighborhood residents Marissa Gibler and Jerry Grabilski were among those who had some concerns.
If there is north-south access all the way through the 20-foot easement, and you can go all the way through to the alley on the south end, I would be very concerned about increased traffic through that alley. That's where they receive deliveries for Napa, between that 414 building, that's Napa, and then the new proposed divisions. They very frequently stop in that alley, and it blocks it for a significant amount of time. Petzer People 2, which is in that 428, I think it is, likewise has semi-trucks that park right there, and then the garbage trucks going through in addition. And also, my lot, 425, has alley access for the garage. 427 has their carport access from the alleyway also. And then I think it's the 1105 at the far east side there. That's the apartment building where people are quite often, you can see where they're parked to the north of their buildings, are quite often standing out there smoking and things.
So you're concerned, to make sure I understand
this. Traffic congestion is what I'm most concerned about, especially the Adams and Troy Highway intersection. If people try to exit from there, there's a lot of already difficulty. So if you have 19 parking spaces that are potentially exiting that way, that would cause more problems.
And so my concerns, when CD's smoke pit was there, sometimes on the weekends, all of our there's no place to park. And I was wondering if this is going to be the same problem. If a tavern can go into the place and... there's a lot of children in the neighborhood.
That was local resident Jerry Grabilski, preceded by Marissa Gibler, speaking to the Moscow City Council's Public Works Finance Committee on Monday. You also heard from City Councilmember Catherine Bonzo in that clip. The committee forwarded the lot split to the full City Council, and it will be on the agenda at next Monday night's meeting. Nez Perce County Sheriff Joe Rodriguez apologized Saturday for a Facebook post that mocks women who do not immediately report a sexual assault. According to the Lewiston Tribune, Rodriguez said his wife, Julie, did not realize she was not on her own Facebook page when she posted an image of an old woman saying in the caption, "Groped in 1886 and I waited till now to tell about it." Rodriguez said upon learning of the post, he immediately deleted it. Rodriguez called his wife's post problematic, and he said he does not take sexual assault lightly. He said sexual assaults are a serious matter. Well, that's it for the KRFP evening report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather from the National Weather Service, it'll be clear skies all the way through Friday. Low 39 tonight, high 72 tomorrow, 75 Thursday and 71 Friday, lows 43 Wednesday and Thursday nights. Friday night also mostly clear and sunny on Saturday, low 43, high 72, mostly cloudy Saturday night, low 44, 20% chance of showers sunny Sunday, partly sunny, high 66. Currently 66 degrees. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's KRFP 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. I'm Lee Robartis. Jim Roach assisted with tonight's newscast. Coming up, we have our weekly documentary from the National Radio Project, which is the name of the show, Making Contact. And the topic of this week's documentary is 10 years after the crash, recovery not for all. And at 6:30, we have Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. 7:30, music begins with KOI, Time to Chill. And this is KRFP, Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial. Now broadcasting with 1,100 watts of power and online. Have a good night.
Programming on KRFP is sponsored by the Moscow Food Co-op, specializing in food, goods, and programs that nourish and nurture our community. The Moscow Food Co-op is located at 121 East 5th Street. For more information, visit moscowfood.coop, call 882-8537, or find them on Facebook.